Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
They say it's in your blood, a game that can't be won, only played. A love affair. It satisfies the soul and frustrates the intellect. The greatest game ever played, golf. It's real. And this is Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of legendary golfer Billy Casper, talking golf with you for more than two decades. And now, here's Brian and Bob.
Thank you very much and welcome into a Masters recap edition of Real Golf Radio. I'm Brian Taylor. He's Bob Casper. So good to be with you. Fresh back from Augusta and the 89th Masters Tournament. And it will be one that everyone will remember. Somebody told me, somebody much younger than me, in having a conversation upon our return, that this was their generation's Jack in 86. How about that for a comment? Like, everybody talks about the best ever was Jack in 86. And the guys that weren't old enough to remember that are saying, this is our Jack in 86. Now, same on the same coin, they'll say Tiger 19, right? Yeah. So you've got Tiger 19, you got Rory 25, like you've got some legitimate best ones. And one of the ones that we'll talk about is this, like what we were talking about on in the golf cart playing Palmetto the day after, is this Mount Rushmore of Masters wins. We'll get into that coming up later on in the show. Rex Hoggard from Golf Channel is going to join us. The caddy's going to stop by. We're going to play some sound. We'll hear Rory McIlroy and his question, how he opened the press conference, and then his summary of the win. We'll talk about the significance of this win. We'll talk about Bryson and what he's doing and some of the comments he made about, you know, not talking to Rory and the equipment change, Justin Rose, expectations going forward for Rory, all of that coming up. And Bob, it was special. This was something that, you know, you've been wanting to see for a long time, and there it is. Congratulations. You got to witness it.
Yeah, it was really, really special and fun to be there. I enjoyed the opportunity to see the emotion on players' faces and the media, all that kind of thing. But, you know, it's interesting. This is a Masters championship. My father in 1969 had a three-shot lead going to the final round and didn't win the Masters. George Archer won it. He was able to come back the next year, get into a playoff, an 18-hole playoff with his really good buddy, Gene Littler, and he turns out to be the Masters champion in 1970. So there's a certain amount of having to go through all the things that Rory had to go through to be able to get to where he was. And guys have to learn it. You have to figure it out. And it took Rory a little bit longer because it was the one where he had 11 tries to complete the career Grand Slam.
Oh, it was a lot of weight on his back. What now? We'll talk about it all next right here on Real Golf Radio.
At Straight Talk, we are all about no-brainers. Calling grandma for her recipe, no-brainer. Streaming one more episode at 2 a.m., big no-brainer. Getting real unlimited data where you buy bananas, the ultimate no-brainer. Switch now and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 5/19/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store single line activation on qualifying plan. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com/terms. Copyright 2025 Verizon.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day. Featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The Weekend Edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern Time. And weekend replays, 24-7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League, presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Lowe's knows member-only doorbuster deals make SpringFest savings even better. Right now, rewards members can get three 19.3-ounce Bonnie Plants vegetables and herbs for just $10. Plus, save $50 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill, now $149. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 4-7, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location, subject to change, while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family-owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built. Providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below-grade lightweight geoform fill, Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples prints it all.
Oh, you bet. Posters, banners.
Can you print it all for Mother's Day?
Oh, of course. Photo gifts like canvas prints, photo puzzles.
Can you print it all for graduation?
Sure can. Custom cards and invites.
Can you print a huge banner with the grad's picture?
Oh, definitely.
Even an embarrassing baby picture?
Oh, those are the best kind.
I know, right?
Print it all for moms and grads at Staples. And right now, get 40% off custom cards, invites, and photo gifts. N75 exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Welcome back into the show, Brian Taylor, Bob Casper. Good to be with you. Segment brought to you by Black Desert Resort, which is set to host the LPGA's Black Desert Championship coming up May 1st through the 4th, just a couple of weeks away. Bob and I will be there, actually participating in the Pro-Am with our sponsors, Mountain Land Supply. We're excited about that. So we'll have some content and some insights to talk about that and do the show from Black Desert for the tournament coming up that weekend as well. So 2 weeks from now. So we're looking forward to that. If you want to attend, which we highly encourage you to do, go to blackdesertevents.com. That's blackdesertevents.com for ticket, hospitality, and all the information. blackdesertevents.com. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate that. The ladies have a major championship coming up next week. And then Black Desert is chartering flights from Texas to St. George, Utah, putting the ladies up at the resort, taking care of all their expenses. Like, they're treating them first class. Like, this is a really cool one. And we've got some great commits already. And I'm excited to see these ladies take on Black Desert. So I'm excited to see you finally get a chance to play it, Bob.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
How much money? You and me. We got to have a little wager going on. It's got to be something.
We'll figure it out.
All right. I like my chances where I've probably...
You played it quite a few times.
Played it like 30 times and you still are playing it for the first time.
Yeah.
It's a little tricky the first time. But I think Matt McCarty will tell you it's tricky to play Augusta and the Masters for the first time as well.
No doubt.
Yeah, there's some things to figure out. We're going to hear from Matt McCarty. We're going to hear from Rory. We're going to hear from Rose. We'll hear from Bryson. We're going to talk about all that. But let's start with the way that Rory McIlroy opened up the press conference after he was presented his green jacket.
I'd like to start this press conference with a question myself. What are we all going to talk about next year?
The relief is there for Rory. Yes. And basically he's saying, I'm no longer the story about the guy who comes to Augusta with a chance to win the career Grand Slam and get that elusive, you know, Masters green jacket and win a major for the first time in 14 years. Bob, if you just start to stack all of that together and just pile it on a guy's shoulders at 5'9", a buck 60, it seemed like it was too much for him to carry at times. And so it became compelling live sports viewing to see that person, to go through the refiner's fire, to spit the lead out on the first hole, to regain it back on the third and fourth hole, to then cruise to a big lead and give it right back coming through Amen Corner, and then hit a shot to take it back again, and then give it all away again on the last hole and have to earn it in a playoff. Like, and then the emotions to come flooding out afterwards. It's remarkable. I don't know if I remember one where it felt so in doubt, and yet you still felt like he was going to do it at the same time.
That's a great synopsis of exactly what happened over that last 18 holes. But, you know, he flipped the script on the media in asking that question. What are we going to talk about next year? Next year, there will be other stories to talk about going into Augusta, but this one is no longer a story as far as the career Grand Slam is concerned. And think about it, you know, he's one of six guys. Jack and Tiger both have two career Grand Slams, but he's one of six guys, so maybe that's the next one on his list. Let's get to two career Grand Slams like Jack and Tiger. But,
well, if you listen to Padraig Harrington, he's already basically given him that.
Oh yeah. Of course.
But let me just ask you about this. So you brought it up, and what's next, right? Isn't that the beautiful thing about sports? Wow.
Yes.
After 14 years, Rory, congratulations. Okay, how many more can he win? What can he do next? What's the ceiling? How far can he go? You know, I think Rory is going to take this a completely different way, and he is going to shed the fat suit. He's 5'9", buck 60. He's been walking around at 260, and now he's just going to shed that fat suit. He's popping the Ozempic. Boom. Skinny again and free to go do exactly what he wants to do. When he shows up, that's the response he's going to have at the press conference. Gee, Rory, you didn't have a good round today. And? Gee, Rory, you almost had this one. Yeah, I got all of them. I got 29 wins. I don't even care. And you know what? What's probably going to happen more than, hey, why was it disappointing and I don't care, is going to be, holy cow, Rory McIlroy is on a tear. Because with that burden released, and then going straight away to Quail Hollow, where he has the course record, where he's won four times, got his first win there, like, he is going to be freewheeling it like he hasn't freewheeled it since he was a moppy head kid coming out of Northern Ireland. Do you remember that in the Netflix series, he walked by a picture of himself with young, with the floppy hair and the hat, and he goes, you need to get back to that kid. He's back. I think he's 100% back to that, and yet he's a better player than he was back then because he has all the experience, all the tools, and he's like, I just think, maybe we don't need to get too carried away by suggesting he's going to catch Jack Nicklaus in his major championship wins, but I do think it's plausible to suggest that he's got a lot more to go, and these next wins are going to feel a lot easier than the previous one just did.
Yeah, the sky's the limit, I think, for him. It's going to be hard to quantify the amount of wins that he's going to have above 29. Does he get to, you know, he's going to get to 30, of course. Does he get to 40? Does he pass up Phil Mickelson? Does he keep going?
Phil's at 46, is that right?
What?
Phil's at 46, I think.
Yeah, something like that. You know, how many more majors is he going to win now that this has happened and he's able to get the career Grand Slam? So it's just the sky's the limit for him. And it was really, really cool. And he's got a lot of years left. I mean, here's a guy that's 35, 36 years old. He's got another 10 years of competitive, strong competitive golf under his belt. And now it's just a matter of him wanting to go out and be competitive and try to win championships.
Let's go to that final round, Bob. The double at the opening hole. I mean, did you foresee that kind of a start for Rory?
No, I didn't. And hitting it in the bunker on the first hole, you know, you give yourself a bogey. You don't think you're going to make double. But, you know, he hit it long. And then he basically three-putted from getting it on the green in three, and that's what happened. Very unfortunate. The only thing you can't do is go long, but he's competing. He's still trying to make a par. He's still trying to, you know, at the worst, be bogey, and unfortunately got a little aggressive and ended up making double.
And then you've got Bryson's birdie on two.
Yeah.
And now suddenly you've lost the lead.
Yeah.
And he comes right back with birdies on three and four. That whole psyche, that human ability to set aside the pressure, the stress, the anguish that he must have been feeling at that point in time, and to go out and execute the shots to make birdies at 3 and 4 and just jump right back in there and say, I am not going to let this go today. It's fascinating human study, isn't it? Like, that's why live sports is the only thing really worth having some sort of service to be able to watch live sports. Otherwise, everybody's just watching shows on Netflix and chill or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But that is why it's so compelling. That's why sports is so important. And it just, and there's a lot of people, I think, that were inspired by what Rory did. But anyway, back to the round. He then turns it on with birdies at 9 and 10, and you're like, this thing, he's cruising. And then in the back of your mind, you go, you know what? He was standing on 10 with a big lead back in 2011. I know he was young.
Yes, he was.
But you're like, he bogeys 11. Okay. Rights a ship with a par on 12, gets to 13, plays it conservatively. He's a four-shot lead, hits 3-wood, 7-iron. He's in a perfect position. And then a chip wedge into the creek, like an audible, crazy response from the media, from the press building when he did
that. That's the only place you can't hit it is right of the flag.
And he would go on to explain that when he's in that, the way the ball was positioned, that it tends to come off a little right. So, or he tends to hook it a little, I should say. And so he lined it up, not in the creek, he said. He lined it up on the edge of the green thinking he was going to kind of draw it or pull it in to the pin. You needed to be aiming that thing inside the bunker, dude.
Yeah, and left. You got tons of room to the left of the flag there because there's that ridge that runs up that green that if it hits 10 feet left of the flag or 15 feet left of the flag, it's going to come down and be on the same level as the pin. Huge. Just to make double from there is like mind-blowing.
I mean, you're losing almost 3 shots to the field in that kind of a scenario on Sunday on 13. Yeah, that was surprising. Yep. Then he had followed it up with a bogey on 14, and you're like, this thing is slipping away. And he stepped up just as he did on Saturday and hit a stud shot, 7-iron into 15 that ended up about 3 feet pin high, four, probably longer than that, it's probably 5 feet. And he hit one of the worst putts I've ever seen, but it didn't matter because he tapped in for the birdie, and that's what he needed to do. We're going to continue this conversation. We've got to take a quick break, but the bogey on 17 seals it, right? Or the birdie on 17, not quite. Bogey on 18 would follow, and a playoff. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Rose. We'll hear from Rory Moore. You're listening to Real Golf Radio, an 89th Masters Recap Edition. Back after this.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than $1 a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than $1 a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, If you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Talking golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
Welcome back to the show. Recapping the 89th Masters right here on Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper at Real Golf is where you can find us. You can also follow us along Real Golf Radio on social channels like Instagram, Facebook, and the like. We're actually making a little bit of an effort to put up some content, a little video content and otherwise there. We're also going to be giving away, our social media manager says we have to give away a hat, Bob. It's part of building the following on social. Okay. I know this is like kindergarten for today's media people, but that's kind of where we're at. So, you know, bear with us, but give us a follow at Real Golf on X and Real Golf Radio on Instagram and whatever, and Facebook, and we'll give some stuff. We put up a video of the hats. We're going to give one of those away, and yeah, give us a follow. Follow us to find out all the details. Okay. With that aside, we go back to that final round. He makes the birdie on 17, and I'm like, yep. They show Justin Rose over there practicing, and I'm feeling bad at this point. Like, the guy goes out and shoots 66. He was forgotten. I mean, he was the guy the first couple of rounds, and then after Saturday, he was gone. He was not even...
Yeah, 75 nobody, in the third round.
Nobody even interviewed him.
Yep.
And then he's over there practicing with the hopes of a chance for a playoff. And I'm like, it's not going to happen, dude. And then, I mean, after a perfect drive by Rory, I don't even understand. Take me through that, Bob. He's got 125 yards. He's hitting a gap wedge or a sand wedge, actually.
Yeah.
And he hits it into the bunker right. That's just all nerves, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's very reminiscent of the shot he hit on the 13th hole when he had wedge from 85 yards and hits it right into the water hazard. So then he's got 125, 130 yards on the 18th hole. It's uphill. You know, anything to the right of the flag just a little bit would hit and stay in that lower level, you know, even if it went up onto the slope that bisects the middle of the green, it would still come back down. And it was, you know, he just got ahead of himself, club face open, into the right bunker. And not reminiscent of what he'd been doing. Yeah. And so I don't know if it was a lapse in concentration. I don't know what happened, but, you know, he hit it in that right bunker and then he doesn't get it up and down and ends up making bogey. Now it's all tied.
It's a fundamental shot. It's a shot he's hit a million times, right?
Yeah.
Like it's a shot that it's like a layup. In basketball.
Yeah, it is.
And so, and yet under pressure, some layups are harder to make than others.
Yes, they are.
And so the next time you're out there and you are 125 yards out and you fan it and miss the green and you think, and you want to like helicopter that wedge, like one of the greatest players of all time did just that. And guess what?
Did just that.
Your little Saturday game or your money game or whatever is the same pressure to you as what winning the Masters is to Rory, in the sense that he's out of his comfort zone feeling stuff. He's feeling feels he hasn't felt in a while or maybe ever. You find yourself feeling those feels. How does your body react? That's the kind of stuff. That's why it's so fun to play any kind of golf where there's something on the line, because you get to feel that. Otherwise, it's just, you're just hitting balls around the golf
course. Just another round of golf.
Yeah. But when something's on the line, maybe it's to break your personal best. Maybe it's to break 80 for the first time. Whatever happens to be, when you're feeling it, those are the same feelings. Rory was asked earlier, one of the players, to describe, I think it was Rory, what was it like? What's it like to get on that tee and feel those feelings? What is that pressure like? And he's like, you're kind of sick to your stomach. You don't really have an appetite. Your legs are a little jelly. You know, your mind is buzzing. Like, yeah, it's all the same things that we feel. So don't feel bad about that. Like, that's part of it. Don't beat yourself up. And you're not a finely tuned, trained athlete to be able to handle it. You have a job, right? So anyway, that's my little thought on that. Because I like to, that's the lesson I take away when I watch these guys struggle like that.
Yeah, and everything goes into hyperspeed at that time. You know, your mind's moving quickly and everything. And that's why Tiger always slowed down as he got in contention or got in the lead and he was feeling those feelings and stuff. You just got to slow it down and be able to work through the process. What may seem like you're going through it fast, you just slow it down and make it easier for you to be able to cope with it.
He basically repeated the same awesome drive in the playoff.
Yes.
This time, set it up beautifully, and Justin Rose not able to convert his birdie that opened the door, and Rory, you know, poured it in. And I don't think you can overstate how tough that short putt was. Even at that point when it was, again, even more of a layup, everything still rode on that one putt.
Yes.
And yes. And he made it. And that's why I think you saw the raw emotions that came pouring out, emotions that he called relief before he ever felt any joy, which is, that is some great stuff. I can't even tell you how great a stuff that is, but
yeah,
that putt, Bob, just explain that putt right there. Like, that's not, I know it's pretty elementary, but there's a lot that can go wrong with that putt, especially given the nerves and all that was riding on it.
Yeah, it's just a process of going through the fundamentals and everything you do to make a putt as a player. You know, you look at it, you line it up, you do all the things, your pre-shot routine, everything exactly the same. And then the biggest thing that you have to do is make sure that you keep your head still. Because if you keep your head still, chances are you aren't going to push it or you aren't going to pull it. You just keep your head still and go ahead and execute. And he was able to do that. It looked like he lined it up like left center. He hit a nice, good, firm putt, and it went right in the heart. And when that happened, everything came flooding out as far as the relief factor.
But that putt, not that process you described is right on. But the putt itself,
yeah,
was downhill sliding. It's not straight, yeah, right? It wasn't straight.
No, it's an inside left center putt.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you've got to trust that. I mean, you don't want to give the hole away, and he didn't. But, man, just a little bit of a wobbly stroke at all, and that thing can slide off. I mean, if you slice the putt, which, by the way, happens more often than you think, with that little bit of a left to right, that thing slides right off there. And,
yes, it does.
In fact, it could also catch sliding. It could be sliding along and catch the right edge and spin out, power lip out. And at that point in time, probably rolls 6 feet down the hill. So
it's crazy.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't that easy. Here's Rory McIlroy summing up the win.
It's a dream come true. I've dreamt about that moment for as long as I can remember. I mentioned it out in the prize ceremony, but watching Tiger here in 1997 do what he did and winning his first green jacket, I think that inspired so many of my generation to want to emulate what he did. And you know, there were points in my career where I didn't know if I would have this nice garment over my shoulders, but I didn't make it easy today. I certainly didn't make it easy. I was nervous. It was one of the toughest days I've ever had on the golf course. In a funny way, I feel like the double bogey at the first sort of settled my nerves. And it's funny, walking to the second tee, the first thing that popped into my head was John Rahm a couple of years ago making double and going on to win. So, you know, at least my mind was in the right place and was at least thinking positively about it. But just a complete roller coaster of a day. You know, it was very tricky out there. It almost felt more like a US Open than a Masters at some points, just with how firm and fast the greens got. But just really proud of how I bounced back from know, from the double on one, from the double on 13. I don't know if any Masters champions had four doubles during the week, but maybe I'm the first. But yeah, just a complete roller coaster of emotions today, and honestly, you know, what came out of me on the last green there in the playoff was, you know, at least 11 years, if not 14 years, of pent up emotion. You know, since 2011, I think it's so ironic as well. I got to my locker this morning and I opened it up and there was a note in there from Ángel Cabrera, and just wishing me luck. And Ángel Cabrera was the player I played with in the final day in 2011. It was a nice touch and a little bit ironic at the same time. And it's been 14 long years, but thankfully I got the job done.
There you go. I thought that was a really great summary. By the way, he is the first Masters champion with four double bogeys. Craig yeah. Stadler had three back in 1982. So, yeah, two in the first round, two in the last round, and then the 66s in the middle, which is pretty remarkable.
And 17th try.
17th try, which would have been, I believe O'Meara was 16. And then when Sergio won at 19, that became 19, yeah. the most, right? And Justin Rose was in his 20th. So we're going to hear from Justin Rose. We'll talk about him as well. But some impressive stuff that came away from Rory McIlroy and that win. He talked about the emotions that flooded out, and we've kind of hit on that. That's significant, what he was able to do. Padraig Harrington afterwards talked about him winning another five majors, maybe catching Jack, all that kind of stuff. What was interesting was, according to Harrington, Rory's only deterrent going forward will be him either losing interest in drive or having an issue on the green. So if he somehow gets the yips, without saying it, that's basically what he was saying. Like, if he gets the yip. But he said his game's built for the long term, and he compared his distance to Jack Nicklaus. He had this kind of effortless distance, and so it enabled Jack to play long into his career, and he thinks that that will also enable Rory to play long into his career. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I agree with him wholeheartedly. The only thing that's going to keep Rory from excelling is Rory right now, and especially going forward. He's got the tiger by the tail, and I think he'll win a lot more.
Coming up next, Rex Hoggard from Golf Channel was there. He was covering it. We'll get his thoughts on the 89th Masters. This is Real Golf Radio.
I decided I needed legal help.
It was free to call Siegfried and Jensen.
Cost nothing to call them.
There was no fee until we got a settlement.
And I'm very grateful for Siegfried and Jensen.
It doesn't cost you a thing to call, and we can help.
You've heard us talk about the amazing capabilities of Mountainland Truck Outfitters to outfit your truck, van, or commercial vehicle. But did you know that Mountainland Truck Outfitters now has a mobile sandblasting system that they can bring on site to you or your business? And Mountainland Truck Outfitters now has an exclusive powder coating shop offering virtually any color you want. See Mountainland Truck Outfitters in Provo to custom outfit your truck with lifts, leveling kits, spray-in bed liners, commercial truck bodies, wheels, tires, powder coating, sandblasting, lighting, hitches, and other accessories. Go to mountainlandtruck.com. That's MTNLNDtruck.com.
Say hello to 4U Banking from Zions Bank. Customized banking that's all about you and the way you bank. Like credit cards. Experience 4U Banking today at a Zions Bank branch or visit zionsbank.com/4U to learn more. Credit card accounts are subject to credit approval. Certain terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See the consumer credit card agreement and disclosure statement for more details. Offers are available for new credit card accounts only and subject to change at any time. A division of Zions Bank Corporation, NA, member FDIC.
The LPGA Tour is coming to Utah. Don't miss your chance to see the best players in the world at the Black Desert Championship, May 1st through 4th at Black Desert Resort in St. George. Tickets are on sale now, including hospitality, at blackdesertevents.com. Take it a step further and play in the Pro-Am or walk inside the ropes as an honorary observer. Packages and details available at blackdesertevents.com. That's blackdesertevents.com. The LPGA Tour at Black Desert. I'll see you there.
At Uinta Golf by Worldwide Golf, it's the Cobra Fitting Event this April 24th through the 27th. The Cobra DS Adapt drivers are engineered with Future Fit 33 technology, which allows you to adjust loft and lie. Also, take advantage of the 50% bonus trade-in towards any new Cobra 2025 clubs. Swing into Uinta Golf or book your fitting online at worldwidegolf.com. Trusted by golfers since 1971 and home to the legendary 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Get there!
This is Brian Taylor. For years, you've heard me talk about getting LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision. I've heard from so many of you who have had the same great experience that I had. It's been 15 years already, and my eyesight is still amazing. I 100% recommend the pros at Hoops Vision for your vision correction needs. Book your free consultation online at hoopsvision.com. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you'll save $1,000 on your LASIK procedure. That's hoopsvision.com. Hoopsvision.com.
My name is DJ. I was injured in a car accident. I called Siegfried & Jensen because the insurance company was trying to take advantage of me. Siegfried & Jensen were great at making sure that I was taken care of.
Here for you whenever and wherever you need us. Siegfried & Jensen.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, back from the Masters and recapping Rory's win at the 89th edition. And the man you saw on Golf Channel from the live froms, and you read on golfchannel.com, he's been there covering this event for a long time, always does a great job. Rex Hager joining us right now. Rex, how's it going, man?
I'm good. I'm, as you pointed out, glad to not be eating egg salad sandwiches anymore. They're delicious for 6 days. 7 days is one day too many.
There's a limit. Know when to say when, right? So yeah. How many Masters was that for you?
21. That was my 21st.
Nice. Awesome. Where does this one rank amongst those 21 you've covered?
One or 1A. I mean, I think 19 and Tiger would be the only one I would probably compare it to. It's pretty amazing when you think about the emotions. And I don't know how many times I've watched that footage of Rory walking up the hill after the playoff hole, and just the emotion that comes out of him. It's genuine. It's authentic. It kind of speaks to everything that's really cool about golf and the Masters specifically, that this is something that he'd been really, it'd been a burden. He said it, his words, not mine, for over a decade. And to get it done and to do it in such Rory fashion, where it could have been so easy for him to make the turn at, you know, leading by four and just to cruise home and to win the green jacket. But of course not. That's not the way he would ever do it.
You know, as you were saying, the emotion, you know, very reminiscent of Tiger Woods in 2019 when he walked across there to the scoring area and all of the guys were there waiting for him, Justin Thomas and many, many others. But it was amazing to see him breathing, you know, tears running down his face, and Shane Lowry being there to give him the hug.
I mean, Shane was there. There was dozens of people who just wanted to be there and embrace him and be part of it. It's that walk up has become the best meme ever. And I don't know how many I've seen that, whatever it is, it's like, this is what you look like when you finally get your 8-year-old to bed, or this is what you look like when you finally make par on 18. Like, there's so many good memes, but yes, I think when you look at him walking up that hill, everything is written on his face. I don't even think he needed to do a Champions press conference, although I appreciate that he did, because we all know what it meant to him. And for him to do it at that place, given his history, and to complete the career Grand Slam, I was in Hilton Head for a couple of days afterwards at the RBC Heritage and talking with players. And I was taken that when you actually talk to the players, I mean, the three of us, we've been in the game a long time. I'd like to think we have a pretty good idea what it means for him to win the career Grand Slam and to go on the Mount Rushmore of golf, essentially. But for his fellow competitors, I was very interested in how they were able to put it in context. Because for a player like Billy Horschel, who I talked to about this, who grew up, then that was his goal, to win the career Grand Slam. And now at 30-something years old, not even one leg there. And he knows how hard it is, and he knows how special that was to Rory.
Rex Hager joining us here. Can you talk about the emotion? You mentioned the emotion. I was surprised. I don't, we've attended a lot of these, and it's pretty unusual. During the round, I was in the press building watching on the monitor, where you, otherwise you miss too much out there on Sunday. And the way that the press room responded, you know, audibly responded was kind of shocking to me. I don't hear it very often. And then standing down there in the little, you know, sort of bullpen area where we do interviews, there were people wiping tears, media people, and hugging. And I guess I was a little taken back. The media guys always try to be so stoic and, oh, I'm just here to cover it and I don't get wrapped up in all this. I'm not a fan, whatever, right? Fine. It seemed to penetrate all of those walls. And I'm not saying I don't appreciate it or I don't like it, or I'm not even being critical about it. I'm just curious, why do you think it was that impactful for so many different people?
As my wife would gladly tell you, I have a severe lack of empathy and a bit of a heart of stone. And so I am one of those media members that you said would be very stoic in that situation. And I was standing in that same area, kind of watching him come up the hill and seeing him embrace everybody. I mean, people he's known forever, Shane Lowry, everyone in Shane Lowry's camp. Certainly his wife, that was big. Justin Rose and Justin Rose's wife. And I got a little emotional. I got to be honest with you, because I don't know. I'm not quite sure if you're human, if you didn't get a little emotional watching them, because it was clear what this meant to him. And I was taken by the idea that when he spoke about it in his post-round interview and someone asked about the joy that he felt in that moment when he dropped to his knees on the 18th green, and he corrected him immediately. It wasn't joy, it was relief. Mm-hmm. And that to me was stark, because in my mind, joy is what you and I have when we get married or your children are born. Relief is what you have when the doctor tells you you don't have cancer. So those are two vastly different emotions to me. So it was an interesting case study in that. But no, I don't think I've ever experienced it probably outside of a Ryder Cup, because there is a lot of cheering, especially mm-hmm. when you're at a Ryder Cup overseas. There's a lot of cheering in the press room. Normally you don't have that at all. But I think it had more to do with just the drama of the moment. Like I think the best one, and not the best one for Rory, but certainly the loudest and most vivid was on 13 when he makes just a mess of that hole and he absolutely shouldn't have. I mean, he was playing it perfectly. He was playing it conservatively. He had a big lead, and just the shock going through the press center was really something that I'd never experienced before.
It was wild. I was like, yeah, I had to stand up and look around. I'm like, what was that? That's insane.
Exactly. But, yeah. Let me ask you, Rory's rounds were kind of interesting. You know, of course, he gave up four shots late in his first round after playing a phenomenal round of golf and being at four under par. Then he sandwiched the two 66s in between in rounds two and three. And then he comes to the fourth round. And I'll tell you what, talk about adversity and talk about going blow for blow with himself, not necessarily Bryson. And tell us what your thoughts about his final round. You mentioned the 13th hole, but let's start it off with one, because that was kind of crazy.
I don't think I've seen a major champion hit so many major championship style shots and hit so many just awful shots in one round in my life. Like, I can go through the card shot by shot. It's absolutely amazing, and probably one is the best way to start. But if you look at the amazing shots, there were plenty of those. Like, whatever that was on number seven, the second shot through the trees and over the trees, and he opens up a nine iron and hits at the birdie range when he should have just been scrambling for bogey, if we're being honest. The shot on 15, just around the trees, just mm-hmm. full go. The shot on 17, again, around the trees, full go. All of those are the shots you have to hit. I think Phil Mickelson said it best, that if you're going to win the Masters specifically, you're going to have to do something heroic at some point. And all of those were heroic shots. And then you have whatever it is that happened on 13 with the third shot. Like, with a professional, the world number two, a player that's won multiple majors, been world number one from 92 yards, does not hit it in the creek. It wasn't even close. It was in the creek from the second it came off his club face. So to your point, I think it was just one of those rounds where he had to come to terms with the idea that he wasn't going to be perfect. And I think we can go back to Thursday. I think that's probably a good comp here. That when Scotty Scheffler opened with a four under with no bogeys and he was machine-like, and you were thinking to yourself, yep, like, that's Scotty. That's what he does. He's going to win this by three strokes, because he's just going to par everyone to death from here on out. That's never going to be Rory, and I think that's why he resonates with fans so much.
Rex Hoggard, Golf Channel, joining us. So, sixth player to complete the Kerr Grand Slam, joining Sarah Zinhogan player Nicholas and Woods, what is the significance, put in your words, the significance of this fifth major, the completion of the career Grand Slam, and then, you know, where does that put him in the place with golf history, and then, you know, the expectations that that now puts on him going forward?
Well, his place in golf history, he's the best player of his generation, full stop. Like, there's no more conversation. Like, and it's a 3-hour drive from Augusta to Hilton Head on Monday morning, and I workshopped a lot of ideas. Like, the radio wasn't on, the windows were down. I was just sort of coming to terms with what I had just seen. And when you look at the idea that, as you pointed out, just five people had done this before Sunday with Rory, and one of them, no disrespect to Gene Sarazen, it really wasn't the career Grand Slam when he won. He completed his slam at the Masters as well. It was called the Augusta National Invitational when he did it. It was just the second time they played it. So it was much different than what you ended up now. The fact that it's been 2.5 decades since someone did Tiger Woods in 2000 kind of gives you an idea of how special it is. The fact that no one else of his generation is relatively close. And we could sit here and make the argument that Jordan Spieth could do it next month. But I think when you look at his form and his record on that golf course and how he's playing, it doesn't seem very likely. It's an amazing achievement. And I was wrestling with the idea on Monday when I was driving over, the idea being that you've reached the top. He can win another major. He can win multiple majors, another Masters. He can be the player of the year. He can win a FedEx Cup. All those things are going to be great. It's one more line in the resume that I think we can all agree is now complete. And I'm not saying that he's just going to give up. He clearly doesn't have that gear. I talked to Sahith Tagala about this, and I think his line was, no, like, he's just going to get better from here because he's a quote-unquote sicko. And a lot of them are sickos to get to that point of who they are. I don't think there comes with any more pressure, to be honest with you. I think anything else from here out is just because he loves to play golf and he's really good at it. Because I don't know the resume is going to change one way or the other. The only two things I could come up with that would really impact him emotionally, bring pressure, whatever the case may be, would be the Olympics. And he's made it clear he wants to win a medal. Doesn't matter if it's gold or silver or bronze, he wants to win a medal. We've seen how hard he's fought the last two Olympics. And the other one's going to be when he's a captain of the European Ryder Cup team. Ooh. But outside of that, I don't know that he has any more pressure.
Yeah, he's pretty willing, right? Like you said, as far as the pressure is concerned, the 100-pound gorillas or the 500-pound gorillas off his back now, and now it's just competing on a week to week basis or a major to major basis, that kind of thing. How many do you think he gets? He's at 29 right now. If we could prognosticate, how many out there do you think he gets as far as wins or even majors?
I will say this is a caveat to my last statement, and Billy Horsfield actually mentioned this to me as we were having this conversation, that what if he does go on a run? And I think to answer your question, I could imagine that's a very real possibility where you're right. If the gorilla's off his back now and he doesn't have any more pressure, he's going to show up at the next major in Charlotte at Quail Hollow where he's won multiple times. He has the course record, and suddenly you're thinking, well, yeah, of course he should be the favorite. And just keep going down the line all the way to Port Rush, and go into next year to the majors. And let's say, and this is sort of out of left field, but he does go on a run and suddenly he gets to 12 or 13 or 14 majors. Suddenly Tiger is in his sights. So I do think there is an element to that, but we're a long ways from that. I think he's certainly in the prime of his career. He's never played better golf. He's never been in better shape. So there's nothing in his body of work that suggests he's going to get to the top of the mountain, maybe like David Duval did, and decide that, nope, I'm good. I'm just going to mail the rest of it in. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Rex, before we run out of time, there's Bryson DeChambeau played in that final group with him, shot a Sunday 75, didn't really have it, talked a lot about the frustration of his irons and whatnot, but it seems like all the talk is surrounding his comment that Rory wouldn't talk to him. Do you have an issue with that? Is that the biggest non-story story ever?
Yeah, and there's nothing to that story. And I don't even think Bryson was trying to make anything to the story. I think he was just answering a question, honestly. If Shane Lowry would have been in the last group on Sunday with Rory, one of his best friends in the world, I wouldn't imagine they would have had too much to say to each other. Bob Rotella actually talked about this on the BBC a couple of days later. And the idea that was the mission. Like, put yourself in a bubble and don't let anyone get to you inside that bubble. There was no phones. There was no outside distractions. It was going to be you and your family. when you're away from the golf course. And when you're on the golf course, everything you did was trying to get the green jacket. And I just think that was part of the process. I don't think it was any disrespect or any shade. It was just he was going to ignore whoever he was with.
Yeah, agreed. And then your thoughts on Justin Rose. I mean, we talk about how difficult it looked out there for Rory. Just the opposite for Rose, man. He went on cruise control and just put his head down and shot a 66. And he was out there practicing as Rory was coming up and birdie in 17. And I'm like, it's cute that he's practicing, but, you know, it's just not quite enough. And next thing you know, there he is in a playoff. I mean, you got to have a lot of respect for Rose. And then to be there, I would almost say you can't script it any better than to put Rose in that playoff as opposed to somebody like Bryson that could get into his dome. Rose was there. Could have been a comforting factor for Rory at that point.
It might have been. I made the argument that it was actually good, him playing with Bryson, because I think it gave him the opportunity to have that chip on his shoulder. Mm. And if there has been one knock against Rory in his career, it's like maybe he's not tough enough. Maybe he's not mean enough. Maybe he's not a jerk. Whatever it takes to be that alpha male, the one that's at the top of the mountain. And in this particular case, it was probably easy, if I'm being quite frank, for him to just ignore the guy he was playing with, because I don't particularly care to have a conversation with him to begin with. So it's easy for me to just move about my business. When it comes to Justin Rose, I mean, we need to remind people that he has finished runner-up in the last two major championships. So this is not a fluke. This is not a one-off. He sort of called it, I think, the Indian summer of his career, because he's 44 and realized he's at the end. He's still one of the game's best ball strikers. And if he has a decent putting week, a good putting week, like he did last week, I'm not going to be surprised to see him contend again.
I love that. Well, it was fun. Yep. Great job on the coverage, as always. And it's always fun to recap it. Great to see you as well. And we'll catch up with you again soon.
Good seeing you, fellas.
Okay, thanks. Rex Hogger joining us. Golf Channel, check him out, follow him online, and read his stories, watch for him on the coverage as well. Always really, really good takes. We'll take a short break. More of the show continues next.
Thank you for listening to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper. Follow us on Twitter at Real Golf. And join us every week on the Real Golf Radio Network.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.